The following talk show is being presented to you by Dr. Pat Kenshaft. The educational views, opinions, and techniques are those exclusively of Dr. Kenshaft, her callers, and guests. Now, Math Medley with Dr. Pat Kenshaft.
Welcome to Math Medley, a show for people who care about the future. We consider education, parenting, equity, and environmental issues with an underlying theme of mathematics. I'm Dr. Pat Kenshaft, and my guest today is Dr. Li-Ping Ma, author of Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States. Dr. Ma has taught mathematics in elementary schools both in China and in the United States, and her book tells about her research for her PhD thesis at Stanford University. Her research involved interviewing elementary school teachers in both the United States and China who had a reputation for teaching math especially well. Indeed, the American teachers who she interviewed knew far more math and explained it far better than most elementary school teachers I have known. However, the Chinese elementary school teachers were far, far more knowledgeable than the United States teachers. They had deep insight into both math concepts and clever ways of expressing them. I had never heard before of some of their ideas, even though I have a doctorate in mathematics and spent a lot of time in various elementary schools talking with people about mathematics. All of these ideas can be understood by elementary school children and their teachers, and many help explain arithmetic more deeply. The question of why our teachers know so little mathematics compared to their Chinese counterparts fascinates me. The per-person income in China is less than one-tenth the per-person income in the United States. In other words, the average person here earns more than 10 times as much as the average person in China. Why should their schools teach math so much more effectively? The fact that our educational system provides so little math support for teachers distresses me greatly. Therefore, today's guest and I may talk a bit about what causes the difference between the two countries, unless callers suggest that they want to hear about how particular subjects are taught in China. The first two chapters of Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States, discuss at length the teaching of four different math topics generally taught in elementary school throughout the world. One is a subtraction of two-digit numbers, and the next is multiplication of two three-digit numbers. The third chapter discusses at length a particular problem about division of fractions, but also explores more generally how fractions are taught in China. Much better than in our country, I assure you. The fourth chapter considers the relationship between area and perimeter of a rectangle. If you are interested in learning or teaching in any of these topics, you really want to read that chapter of Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States. You can buy the book at or through your local bookstores. It was just published, copyright 1999, by Earl Baum Publisher. If you want to perform a public service and save yourself some money, go to your local library and tell them that they want to buy Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States. They probably will buy it and let you borrow it first. Remembering that title is a bit of a challenge. Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics might be good enough. But Dr. Ma's name is easy to remember. It's spelled M-A. Her first name is Li-Ping, spelled L-I-P-I-N-G, and the publisher is Erlbaum, E-R-L-B-A-U-M. Today's program is especially open to listeners' guidance. If you want to know how subtraction, multiplication, or fractions are taught in China, do call in and let us know. Other comments and questions are welcome, too. I'll send you my copy of an ancient Chinese puzzle if you leave your name and address with our producer. Call us at either 602-247-KFNX or toll-free at 877-433-KFNX. The last letter of KFNX is the same as the last letter in Phoenix. Those numbers again are 602-247-KFNX or toll-free at 877-433-KFNX. Our topic today is elementary school mathematics in China and the United States. Welcome to Math Medley, Dr. Liping Ma.
Glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you. And I know you're concerned about some misunderstandings that might plague the publication of your book. So tell us about one of those misunderstandings that you want to clear up right away.
Yeah, what I think that people who read my book tend to think this is a simply comparative study, which only tells the story of Chinese teachers knowing math better than American teachers.
And that certainly does stand out in the book.
But actually, yeah, because the sample of I could study as a graduate student for her thesis is quite small. It's hard to generate that Chinese teachers are doing better than American teachers. But what I want to say in this book really is that to teach math for understanding, teachers should they should know math in deep way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean because I read the book, and it certainly shows that the teachers who understand mathematics in a deep way have very clever ways of explaining it that other people can understand. Makes it a much easier than a teacher who just knows it superficially.
Yeah, and also many teachers who, some teachers I interviewed, I had in my book, especially American teachers, they want to their students understand math, but since they don't understand math by themselves, I found that it's hard for them to let their students understand math, you know.
Right, and I have observed this so much in this country. The teachers, as I said, that you interviewed, the American teachers, certainly know math about as well as any American teachers that I've known. And they clearly want their students to understand, as good teachers do around the world. And certainly I see plenty of them in the United States. But if you don't understand it yourself, you just can't explain it.
That's right. That's right. But I do see, from my personal experience, I do see more American teachers know less math than than Chinese teachers I know.
Right. And you had taught first, originally, grew up in China and taught there originally, so you've talked to a number of Chinese teachers beyond the 70 or so that you interviewed for this research.
Yeah.
And I certainly have talked, again, to a fair number of American teachers, and my friends have talked to a lot more, and our observations corroborate yours that they know pathetically little mathematics. Let's turn, and I consider it not their fault, but the fault of a system that doesn't give them any opportunity to learn.
Sure, sure.
Very good people in teaching. I suspect around the world, but I certainly have seen it. Such good people in this country teaching. One of the things you talk about is that U.S. teachers think of elementary math too much as an arbitrary collection of facts and rules. And you've observed that Chinese teachers justify their explanations with symbols, and they give multiple solutions and discuss relationships among concepts. And that all needs a deep understanding. And why do you think that this difference occurs? Let's start by telling about some of the good things that happen in China that aren't so common here. So tell some of the advantages that Chinese teachers have.
Say that again, please.
Well, you comment in the book about the differences that American teachers have with Chinese teachers and why the Chinese teachers are doing so well.
There are so many
There are so many different reasons. Yes, I have about seven here that I copied out of your book.
Yeah. Let's talk the main things first. I think that one thing is before being a teacher, actually, maybe Chinese already know math better than American teachers. You know, I interviewed high school students and also student at teacher education, both groups show better math knowledge than American teachers.
Of course, this makes sense. If they're having better teachers in elementary school, mm-hmm. then by the time a person reaches ninth grade, they'll know more math than they would here.
Yeah, that's a circle, you know.
And so they're better prepared to teach it themselves. So
yeah.
That is probably the most important reason.
That's one thing. The other thing important is that I noticed that Chinese teachers keep growing in their math knowledge during their teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And American teachers don't. At least it was shown in my data.
Yes.
Why
are Chinese teachers able to keep growing?
Of course, teaching environment makes this. Chinese teachers teach less time than American teachers. So I think they have more time to reflect on their teaching, and also they work together. Chinese teachers, even at elementary school, they are specialized math teachers. They have teacher study groups and meet every week, and also even every day in their office, so they have time to discuss among themselves about math, too.
Well, you've named about four different advantages that Chinese teachers have over American teachers. Let's go back and make sure the radio audience hears it. First of all, this matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
They teach, sometimes, some of them that you said taught three or four 45-minute classes a day. That means they're teaching no more than three hours a day. And most American teachers teach about six. By teach, we mean are in the classroom with children.
That's right. But
and
they have much bigger class than the States.
The class in China is bigger than the United
States.
Yeah,
much bigger. Yeah.
How big would you say?
About 50. A class I just observed last month was 53 students sitting in one classroom.
53 students in one classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually between 40, above 40.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but they teach less time.
The teachers teach less time. Now, if you have that many students and you have discipline problems, nothing's going to happen, as we well know in this country. We have a lot of discipline problems. The children sit reasonably still in China, right? And they pay attention for that period of time?
Yes, sure, yeah. They.
And why is that, do you think?
I think teachers prepare class very, very carefully. And the period is only 45 minutes. After 45 minutes, they get a rest. So the philosophy is that work hard when you are study, and then you get a rest.
And so what do the children do during that rest?
they play wildly.
They play wildly, and they get a chance to talk to their friends. So they,
mm-hmm.
after those 45 minutes, they can run around.
That's
and
right.
Do
right.
the kinds of things that kids love to do. So you
yeah.
can behave yourself for 45 minutes more easily than 6 hours.
Yeah, and also teachers get time to prepare the 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Very carefully. Teachers usually spend even more than 45 minutes to prepare 1:45 period
mm-hmm.
class. So that also helps to control the class, to teach what you want to teach. Yeah.
Right, because the kids know that this, it shows when a person prepares, and so the lesson
is
well done, and so the child is not so inclined to be bored, and therefore they
yes.
can make it through to the next play period.
Yes.
All
yeah.
of which makes a certain sense.
Time will be used much more efficient if you prepare it well.
Right. And the children are less bored. I think that's a major problem in American schools. That the teachers are overworked, and so they have to do things that are less exciting, and the kids
don't have time to prepare their lessons.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, in that preparation time, they're also learning the mathematics.
Yes.
You're listening to Math Medley. I'm Dr. Pat, and my guest today is Dr. Liping Ma, author of Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States. If you call in today and leave your name and address with our producer, you can get a copy of an ancient Chinese puzzle. You can also direct our conversation, if you like, toward how the Chinese teach subtraction, multiplication, or fractions. To join our conversation, other comments and questions are welcome. Call either 602-247-KFNX or toll-free at 877-433-KFNX. That's 602-247-KFNX or 877-433, toll-free this is, KFNX. What are some of the contrasts that you see between Chinese and American teachers along these lines? You had some really pithy comments about why American math programs are so poor and why, therefore, our children do so poorly on international tests compared to people from other countries, in particular China, but not just China.
Yeah, I think there is another assumption which so different from Chinese and United States is that in the States, people, at least from my impression, that people assume that teachers already know math and the only problem they should solve is how to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
But in China, we assume that teachers don't yet know math they teach well. They have to improve their math knowledge and the skill of how to teach during their teaching.
Isn't that an interesting thing that in the United States, where the teachers know so much less, people tend to assume they know more, and in China, where they know more, people assume they know less? I was very interested in your statement that you have a national teaching and learning framework mm-hmm. in China that's published by the government, right?
Mm, yes. Yes.
And the teachers that you interviewed take it very seriously, and they study this, and the framework assumes that the teachers will be needing time to study.
That's right.
And we have no such guidelines. We do have the NCTM standards, that's National Council of Teachers of Mathematics Standards,
mm-hmm.
which in my opinion are really very good, but they're not put out by the government. That would not be acceptable in this country to have a national. But much worse than that, they are not respected by all people, and many teachers have never even heard of them.
Mm.
And it's very hard to get government, state governments, to even tell teachers that they exist and get schools. So that's a big difference. We just assume that the teachers know everything,
mm-hmm.
And then we don't provide what they need so that they can improve. It's interesting. You had another idea here. Do you want to go on to another? That's a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That people assume that teachers know math.
Yes. That's very interesting. I didn't notice this before I come into here. In China, they just, even elementary math, they teachers keep learning elementary math when they teach math. But I didn't see this in the States. People think that elementary math is very simple and just rules to memorize in this country. What my impression is this.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, elementary math is not simple.
No.
Especially for teachers, yes.
Uh-huh.
Even to know more deeply than you can teach it well.
And that's true of virtually anything. If you're going to be a good teacher of piano or
that's
history
true.
Or
yeah.
Tai Chi or anything, you have to know it better than your students do, and that includes math.
Yes, yes. Even at very, very elementary level, you can go much very deep than it seems to be.
Yes,
yeah.
You can. And I think and you feel that in China that is acknowledged, whereas in this country, people get threatened. What? My elementary school teacher doesn't know elementary school mathematics?
That's right.
Bad person.
Yeah, because when you teach young children, you just put seeds of mm-hmm. that subject knowledge in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
The seed should be very powerful for their later exploration, later growing. So actually, it's very important, and you should teach them in a deep way so they get power to grow.
That is a very interesting concept, which has certainly occurred to me, but you have a wonderful Chinese saying that intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said it was ancient. If students learn a concept thoroughly the first time it is introduced, mm-hmm. one will get twice the result with half the effort in later learning.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
yeah.
one gets half the result with twice the effort.
Yeah, that's what many Chinese teachers believe. I mean, many generations of Chinese teachers believe.
That it's very important to plant the seeds well at the beginning, right?
Yes.
And I've certainly noticed this, which is why I, as a college professor, have felt that working with elementary school teachers is so crucial, because by the time, actually my observation mm-hmm. has been, with my limited skills in teaching children,
mm-hmm.
I can do almost anything with third graders, that's eight-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
But by fifth grade, if the seeds have been planted wrong, they're beyond my saving. I can't do it. And it's very startling that how much more I can do with third graders than fifth graders.
That's right.
Third graders are still open, still not ruined, still
yeah.
able to learn. But if the fifth graders have been taught well,
mm-hmm.
then I can take them and run in fifth grade. It's not the...
yes, I agree, yeah.
And you've noticed similar things.
Yep.
Yeah. What about the difference between textbooks in textbooks in this country and China?
Oh, that's so different, too, because you mentioned the framework from Chinese government. And the Chinese textbooks are written according to the framework
mm-hmm.
of the government. Actually, also teachers study textbook a lot, and they compare the textbook and the framework and try to find out the connection, how the textbooks are written to meet the framework. And also they try to figure out the connections between the different sections of textbook.
And
sometimes they criticize textbook, but...
Oh, that's worldwide, I'm sure. That happens here, too. Now, I'll bet in every other country that teachers do criticize textbooks, but they study them. Well, again, we come back to the matter that they have time to study them.
That's right.
And the expectation that they don't know everything,
mm-hmm.
so that it's their responsibility to study mm-hmm. the national framework and the particular textbook, too.
Mm-hmm. And how to teach it. But they also learn a lot from textbook, why it's organized in this way, why this issue is taught before that issue, what's the difference, what's the connection between the topics. So,
and do they do this alone?
Yeah, they do this alone, and also they do this in group. They have what's called a teaching study group,
mm-hmm.
or lesson preparing group. And also they observe each other's class very often. And
oh, they do?
Yeah, and discuss the classes, discuss the lessons
wow.
they observed.
See,
yeah.
American teachers don't have time to observe each other's classes, and
yeah.
that would be so useful.
Yeah.
I have tried to promote that, but going outside the school is almost impossible, but even inside the school is.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many other things to do.
Right.
So they have these teacher study groups. I think you also, they don't have an individual desk in these classrooms where they stay only 45
minutes.
No,
they
minutes.
Don't. The students have the classroom. Teachers have the offices.
Ah.
Let's say, like, all math teachers maybe teach second grade will stay in the same office.
So they were naturally...
Where they have their desks, but they don't have desks at the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they go out of their offices into the students' classroom.
Yes.
After the students have had a break and run around wildly for a while. And they come in and they sit down for 45 minutes with a well-prepared lesson.
That's right. That's
and and the students get a chance to, and the students are more inclined to pay attention. But the teachers then can go back and compare.
Other teachers, maybe Chinese teachers will come. So that's different teachers.
Right. Well, this is very interesting, and in a moment we're going to get into some differences in how subtraction is taught, unless we have a caller who really wants to hear about multiplication or fractions. Whatever it is, we're going to be looking into the details and the differences of how some subject matter is taught in the United States and China, and Americans can pick up some good ideas from our Chinese, the research of today's guest. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Math Medley with Dr. Pat Kenshaft. We'll return after this break.
How many fingers do I show in this hand?
One, two, three.
That's right. Three fingers. How many do I show in this hand?
One, two.
Good. Two fingers. Now, how many in both hands together?
One, two, three, four. Five.
Great. 3 + 2 = 5. Little children love math, and we can teach them in odd moments if we know what to do. I even teach restless children on supermarket lines. To learn how you can nurture children's native math ability and joy, buy my new book, Math Power, How to Help Your Child Love Math Even If You Don't, at your local bookstore. I'm Dr. Pat Kenshaft, and I love teaching children and adults about math. Ask for Math Power at your local bookstore.
Thirty years ago, Texas Instruments changed the way children learn and teachers teach. We invented the electronic handheld calculator. That was just the beginning. Since 1967, by listening and responding to the special needs of educators and students, we have developed a set of powerful and innovative instructional tools. You'll find features and functionality ideally matched to mathematics and science concepts, all designed to make education more interesting and effective. Today, Texas Instruments continues to introduce cutting-edge handheld educational tools like the TI-92 and the TI-83. Give a child a gift with 30 years of history and a bright future. Buy a Texas Instruments calculator for back to school at a retailer near you. For more information about Texas Instruments solutions, visit online at www.ti.com/CALC.
Now back to Math Medley with Dr. Pat Kenshaft.
Welcome back to Math Medley. I'm Dr. Pat, and my guest today is Dr. Liping Ma, author of Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States. If you want to reach me, you can write, telephone, or email. Write to Dr. Pat Kenshaft at the Department of Mathematics, Montclair State University, Montclair, New Jersey, 07043. Telephone my office machine at 973-655-7246. My email address is Kenshaft, K-E-N-S-C-H-A-F-T, at math, M-A-T-H, dot Montclair, M-O-N-T-C-L-A-I-R, dot E-D-U. Meanwhile, today's guest, Dr. Liping, and I would, Ma and I would be glad to hear from you. We do have a caller on the line. I'm just going to quickly say that she has taught elementary math in both China and the United States, and has recently completed a comparative study of the knowledge of elementary school teachers in mathematics here and in China. Okay, let's go directly to our caller. Welcome to Math Medley.
Hi, Pat. I've talked with teachers about why they think it's difficult teaching math in the United States, and besides the reasons that you were discussing in the first half hour, there's three kind of attitudinal questions that I wonder if you or your guest think is significant, and whether or not it's different in China. attitudes of students that maybe because they have it too easy with our greater wealth, they just don't expect to work that hard. They're used to watching television in short doses. Attitudes of our society that doesn't respect people who do well in mathematics and science. They're called names like nerds. They're not appreciated in school. And the third kind of attitude thing in America, maybe that's different in China, is that we have faith that you don't have to understand mathematics because with calculators and computers, technology will make it possible to do what you need to without having to work out understanding. I'm going to hang up. If you want to discuss those issues, I'll listen to the response.
I'm certainly glad I took notes on that one. Interesting attitudes. Dr. Liping Ma, our guest, wants to know if you think the attitudes toward work are different here in the United States. The attitude toward people who do well at math is different than here in China, rather, and whether the assumption that calculators will do it for you so you don't have to learn math is different here and in China. Go for it, Dr. Ma.
I think he's right. Yeah, there are some difference in people's attitude toward math, even though I didn't see it very that obviously that he thinks. Yeah.
Well, I think the question is, do people feel more comfortable toward math, and people who do well at math, do they get respected more in China, perhaps?
I don't think so. I feel that maybe not only math, academically, people in China maybe they see academic work more seriously than here in the States.
And that's true even though the Cultural Revolution was trying to undermine...
After Cultural Revolution, during Cultural Revolution, of course, it undermined, but now...
Undermined respect of intellectual achievement.
Yeah, Chinese tradition always, emphasize respect academic all the time.
And
except the Cultural Revolution, of course.
Except for that, which was a political short-term, 5 years or something. Yeah.
About 10 years.
10 years, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And then you told me earlier that there aren't as many calculators there as there are here.
Mm-hmm. At least, in classrooms, I didn't see many calculators, mm-hmm. even during June, this time we visited China.
And then the sense of work, his first question, do you believe that perhaps people just work harder, believe it's important to work hard in China more so than here, in general, quite apart from math or academics?
Yeah, that's right. If people believe that if you work hard, you learn better.
I think people believe that here. The question is working hard, Number one, is learning better good? And then number two, is working hard worse more than sitting out under the sun or drinking with your friends?
And also, I think American people tend to think talent makes more,
Right.
Yeah.
That Americans think that talent is where it's is the distinguishing feature, and in China they think it's the working
that's
hard
right,
makes it.
That's right. Yeah, they think that at least the work will make you meet the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Talent will make you go to higher, but mm-hmm. for the bottom line, work can make everyone meet the bottom line.
Right.
That's the difference, yeah.
So there's a real faith that everyone can achieve.
Yes.
We talk about that, lip service in the education community, but it's much less so. Okay, I want to suggest other callers can ask whether they want us to talk about subtraction, multiplication, fractions, or areas and perimeters, which are the four topics that Dr. Ma's book discuss. And you can call either 602-247-KFNX or toll-free at 877-433-KFNX, where the last letter in KFNX is the same as the last letter in Phoenix. Okay, Dr. Ma, let's mm-hmm. talk a little bit now about subtraction. and how it is taught differently in this country and in China.
Yeah, according to my study, I think teachers in this country tend to teach it more procedurally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's say 34 minus 6.
Mm-hmm.
If they teach it, they usually say that you borrow one from.
Yeah. So you're borrowing one from the 3.
Yeah, and you make it 14 and you're 14 minus 6.
Right, and then you do have memorized that 14 minus 6 is 8.
Yeah, and...
And, of course, many people forget that, especially second and third graders.
Mm-hmm.
But now, how else could it be taught? Tell it how it might be done in China.
Chinese teachers seem to try to... what they said, they don't say borrow one. They tend to say decomposing a higher value unit, which... The decomposing, the word is borrowed from abacus.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, you decomposing one from 10th
value. So as you move over on the abacus, one thing here becomes 10 things there.
That's right.
Ah, so they can see it. Do they still use the abacus sometimes?
Yeah, they use abacus huge abacus. At the classroom, when did they teach decomposing and decomposing? So.
So they have the advantage of that.
Yeah, they show the abacus to make students understand what means by decomposing and composing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, how might they do 34 minus 6?
Yeah, the main principle they will teach that decomposing 1 into 10, then 10 and plus 4, that will make 14. That's one main thing they want to teach students. And also they will try to involve students to discuss how many ways one can regroup 34. Let's say they can also regroup 34 into 20, 10, 4. So you can simply minus 6 from 10, which may be easy for students to do it.
Ah.
So then you can, you minus 6 from 10, and you plus 4 and 4 and 20. So
they'd have... The 20 and the 4 from subtracting 6 from 10, and then the extra 4 makes 8.
That's right. That's easy. It seems to be like you have more procedures, but for students, it seems to be easy. Like
different students, but different people find some things easier
than others.
Another one way of doing that problem is to decompose the 6 per chance.
You can decompose 6 into like 2 and 4.
Right.
You minus 4 from 4 and also minus 2 from 30. That's also another way.
So you have 2 from 30, and that's easier perhaps to do 28, or at least it is for me, than 6 from 34.
Yes.
And if you had the abacus up there, you could see that you come down 2, or even the line, you can see you're coming down 2 from 30.
Yes.
Into 28.
Like you said, that different people different students tend to think different ways. And a few teachers I interviewed in China said that even though we discuss all the ways of doing subtraction, at the end we discuss why we use the regular regression at most time.
They give them one possibility for one suggested method, unless they see an easier one then.
Yes, they will say that even though we have like 3 ways or 4 ways to doing this, but the regular way is what? It's regroup 34 into 20 and 14, and they discuss why we use this as a regular one, because this is easier for most questions, most problems.
Right. I think I'm going to review that for the sake there. The problem 34 minus 6 can be done in three easy-to-see ways. The typical one in this way, in this country, would be breaking 34 up into 20 and 14. We subtract 6 from 14, we get 8. Another way is to break 34 up into 20 and 10 and 4, and then we subtract the 6 from 10 and get the 4 and add that to the other 4 and get 28. And the other is to break the 6 up into 2 and 4. And take the 4 from the 34 and then the 2 from the 30 and get 28. Well, we have another caller. Welcome to Math Medley.
Hi, this is Ken Schaff. I was wondering if I could ask your guest a question. It's regarding if she's ever compared, like, the United States students, because, you know, a lot of the students are on medications, and I don't believe in a lot of those things.
I share your concern.
Because I've taken Prozac myself, and I know how it can affect, it really can affect your mind.
Are you on it now?
Oh, no.
So you managed to get off safely?
Yes. And,
I really thank you for calling in.
But even like inoculations, I was wondering if it's the same as in this country. You know, in nutrition, too.
Dr. Ma, do you want to take this one?
Hang up.
Oh, you don't have to hang
up. Oh, okay.
You don't have to hang up. The other one, other caller did, because sometimes the back and forth is interesting on this. And do leave your name. I want to send you a couple things. I share your concerns greatly, so I'd love to, if you leave your address, I would love to send you a couple things that I'm concerned about here, about what we are doing for nutrition and not respecting the Chinese culture here, which I think has a lot to offer us in medical care. Okay, Dr. Ma, what do you think about the use of medications here and in China?
Medications
that affect the way people think. Is this something that you have been aware of?
Oh, not really.
Not really.
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, the caller and I could talk quite a bit. I am very much impressed with some of the ancient Chinese approaches to medicine, which have been around for hundreds or thousands of years. And some of ours have been around only 10 years are really being forced onto us.
You
and
think medication will infect math?
Oh, yes. And I have seen this in the math setting. And the caller, are you still on the line, caller? And you've seen this affect math performance, too?
Well, I don't teach it or anything, but, you know, I just know myself how different things can affect people, and, you know, I get very upset with this country. I know I've listened to genome medicine, and, you know, I love that theory, but it's too bad this country just doesn't approach things that way.
Well, I think since our caller today is not an expert in this, I hope that you and I can continue the conversation offline, and you'll leave me a way to get to you, because this is certainly one of my pet topics, too. But she's here to talk about mathematics, so
okay.
thank you very much for calling. I think what you said is an important matter.
Thank you. Thanks for everything.
Thank you very much for calling. We have a little bit of time left now. Do you want to talk a little bit about basic laws of mathematics, Dr. Ma, and the difference in the way they are taught to young children here and in China?
Yeah, actually, I found that the three basic laws, commutative law, distributive law,
associative law.
Yeah, associative law, are taught in China even for early grade children, but they are not taught in elementary schools in United States. Am I right?
I believe you are absolutely right. I have done it a little myself, and people really raise their eyebrows. The kids learn, but the adults many adults don't know what the commutative law is or the distributive or associative. Let's talk about the commutative law of addition. Mm-hmm. Tell our audience what that is.
Yeah, it's like if you 3 add 5 equals 8. Yeah, also you can do like 5 add 3 equals 8.
Okay, so 3 plus 5 equals 8 and 5 plus 3 equals 8.
Yeah,
I remember when I was in college teaching a second grader, I was having a terrible time with addition, and I had blocks there where I showed her you could turn around. The 3 plus 5 was the same as the 5 plus 3. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, we have only half as many to learn. And she was so thrilled. And this was the end of second grade, and she'd never been shown that before.
Yes, actually in China, even like first, second graders are showing you can do this. And actually, teachers ask students to examine their result. Like if after you're doing 3 plus 5 equal 8,
mm-hmm.
to examine if you did right or not,
right.
You can reverse
and
it
you
to check.
Mm-hmm.
Check the result you get.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they were taught that why you can check in this way, because there is a law, it's called a commutative law.
A commutative law is the way, yeah, that the numbers commute is the way I teach my students, back and forth. They go back and forth, commute,
mm-hmm.
Is, I think, the Latin derivation here. Of course, you know all these names differently because you're used to thinking of them in Chinese, which I'm sure has very different words.
But yeah, in Chinese they call it exchange.
Exchange, but I bet it's not exactly exchange.
That'd be exchange the literal translation. Places.
Yeah, but knowing the commutative law is something that first graders can do,
mm-hmm.
and little children pick up words faster than older people, so they're glad to know those big
yeah.
words.
And when they are introduced to multiplication, they were taught about a commutative law again.
Of multiplication.
That's right.
And I like to do that with 3 fingers up in one hand and 3 fingers up in the other hand. And now we see that 2 threes are 6. And then we put the fingers together, ball to ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have 3 twos. You have your index fingers together and your middle fingers together and your ring fingers together.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can see that 3 twos are 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can teach areas when you do the commutative law of addition.
Yeah.
And you said in your book, you say that they even do this symbolically, that the commutative law of addition, for example,
mm-hmm.
they teach the children that x plus y equals y plus x
yeah.
for any x and y.
Mm, that's right. That's right.
And so the children are learning a little algebra in first grade.
Yeah.
And then the X and Y don't seem so familiar, so strange in fifth grade
mm-hmm.
when they get to serious algebra.
That's, yeah, yeah. It makes them easier to learn algebra. Yeah, just they get ready. They already have some seeds of algebra in there.
The seeds and the knowledge package. You're beginning to, you talk a lot about knowledge packages and how you put the knowledge packages together. But let's talk, I'm going to talk a little bit about the commutative law of multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
You tell the second or third graders that x times y equals y times x
mm-hmm.
for every x and y, just like 2 times 3 equals 3 times 2.
Mm-hmm.
So the children are learning these laws in second and third grade
mm-hmm.
with their names.
And yeah, the name. Yeah.
With the names.
But and with very simple examples,
right.
I mean, with arithmetic examples.
Such as 3 plus 5 equals
That's
5.
Right, yeah.
Right. And then the distributive law is used a lot in those multiplication examples that you have to understand the algorithm of multiplying 2 3-digit numbers. But the distributive law is very easy for second and third graders to understand in the form that 2 times 3 plus 4
mm-hmm.
is 2 times 7,
mm-hmm.
which is 14, or it's 2 times 3
mm-hmm.
plus 2 times 4.
Mm-hmm.
2 times 3 is 6, and 2 times 4 is 8, 6 plus 8 is 14, and that's the distributive law.
That's right.
And your children are learning that in second and third grade just as soon as they know multiplication, right?
Yes, and sometimes distributive law or commutative law, even associative law, can make question easier to be solved.
Much easier to be solved.
Yeah, so students don't only learn law, but also learn why the law makes sense for them to learn. Because they, using the laws, they can solve some problem easier than in a regular way.
And so they're finding the basic ideas of mathematics. They learn these basic laws,
mm-hmm.
which are not difficult for little children to learn, and then they use it to prove things.
Mm-hmm.
This takes us to another one of your quoted ancient Chinese sayings of know how and also know why.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that's in one of the ancient Confucian sayings?
Mm-hmm.
Know how?
I don't know if it's Confucian or not. I mean, it's literally from Confucian or not, but it's a ancient saying in Chinese education.
Know how and
also know why.
Know yeah. why.
Yeah.
That they're both very important. That's
yeah.
interesting.
If any of our audience are Chinese, it's 知其然, 知其所以然.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for joining, and thank you, our radio audience, for joining us on Math Medley. I also want to thank my producer, who's Candice Baroman, and my executive director, J.C. Clayton. I'm Dr. Pat Kenchak, and my guest today was Dr. Liping Ma, author of Knowing and Teaching Elementary Mathematics, Teachers' Understanding of Fundamental Mathematics in China and the United States. It's published by Erlbaum, E-R-L-B-A-U-M, just published 1999, and her last name is spelled M-A. She told us about a lot of different things having to do with the difference and of Chinese teaching here and in China, and talked about, although many good teachers here also try to promote understanding, knowing why as well as knowing how, if the teacher doesn't understand the mathematics him or herself, she or he cannot do it. And there is much better preparation, because the teachers are better in China, by ninth grade, but there's also the expectation in China that teachers will continue to learn. And there's a lot of more time provided for teachers that they can learn and prepare their lessons. Lessons in China come in 45-minute chunks, after which the children run around and play wildly. Their classes are much bigger than ours, 40 to even 53 students per class, but there are relatively few discipline problems, partly because teachers are respected more than here, but partly because the children can run around between classes and talk to each other, and they only have to sit still for 45 minutes, and then they can run around, and then they can be free again. The children have the classrooms, the teachers have offices where they can talk to each other and plan their lessons, and teachers spend roughly half as much time with students as American teachers do, although they spend as much time in school. So they have time to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. We had a very interesting caller. I want to thank both of our callers with very interesting ideas. But her response to one was that the Chinese believe more than Americans that hard work pays off in learning. Americans tend to believe it's talent that determines who learns, and in China, hard work is expected to do a good job for you. So I want to thank you very much for being with us today, Dr. Liping Ma.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Good. May you have many more radio appearances. Next week, our guest will be a teacher activist, Rob Torshin. He teaches in Feinstein High School, an alternative school within the Providence Public School System, where students go who choose to keep portfolios about their work and do community service. Mr. Torshin teaches high school math through problem solving and has worked in Providence's Saturday program and in the Upward Bound program for preparing students for college. It will be very exciting to get his views on the front lines of United States urban education. 2 weeks from now, Math Medley will feature Dr. Regina Brunner, who has chosen as her topic, Reach for the Stars and You'll Get One. She's immediate past president of Women in Mathematics Education, a national organization to help girls and women do better in math. On July 17th, we'll have a double treat, a half hour each, with two biographers of two leading 20th century mathematicians. Dr. George Andrews, professor of mathematics at Penn State University, who has studied the impoverished Indian mathematician Ramanujan, will be with us, as will Paul Hoffman, who has written a full-length biography of Paul Erdős. Remember, this is Dr. Pat Kenchat, professor of mathematics at Montclair State University, hoping you'll join us next Saturday at the same time. Do remember, you can do more than you think you can, and have fun doing it.
Thank you for listening to Math Medley with Dr. Pat Kenchat. If you would like to purchase Dr. Kenchat's book, Math Power, How to Help Your Child Love Math Even If You Don't, from Addison Wesley, just ask for it at your local bookstore. If they don't have it, they'd be happy to order it for you.